Well, folks, we are here for this week's culture segment for The Boundless Show. And as always, we love it when we can feature experts and just people who have walked through life and people who have great wisdom and insight to share with us when it comes to all of the stuff we talk about, from faith to career, worldview, and even relationships. And so I'm very privileged. We are very privileged to have Dennis Rainey with us today. How are you doing there, Dennis?
I'm doing great. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you here as a first-time guest on The Boundless Show. For those of you who are probably a little bit familiar with Dennis Rainey, he's the president and CEO of Family Life and hosts Family Life Today. He's also written a bunch of books and is a father. He has six adult children, right?
Right.
Okay. And now a lot of grandkids. So now you can worry about
their
futures
of grandkids.
Too. So you know, your kids, are all your kids married now or?
No, five of them are married and our daughter who's single is 2/3 ready.
Okay. Okay.
Her and the preacher.
You're what? Okay. There you go. You're
she's ready.
Okay. Well, hey, a lot of our women in our audience can identify with that. So, looks like you've gotten some across the finish line there or the start line, I should say, for that. But that's cool. Now you can worry about your grandkids. You can
No doubt about it. In fact, I'll give you my best piece of advice I give single people. I generally share this with single women. It's a great quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a great English preacher. It's very simple. He said, "Faith is the refusal to panic."
Wow. Okay. That's good. Yes. Well, I am still single myself, so that's a good thing to take to heart. And, you know, we talk a lot about our stories here and just kind of what the culture has delivered a lot of our generation when it comes to family and some poor marriage examples out there and all that. So I'm really excited to talk to you today because I think you are, I mean, when it comes to marriage and family, you know, that's kind of what you live and breathe, you know, personally and as a vocation. And so I think it's helpful for us as young adults to learn from those who are walking before us and who have done marriage well and who are helping the next generation. So I want to kind of start out by delving into, we're going to touch on both of these books that I alluded to. And, you know, you really talk about when you have this, you know, you wrote the book Interviewing Your Daughter's Date, and you call it 30 Minutes Man to Man. And this is something that, you know, I think of my brothers-in-law and, you know, what they would do, you know, how they would conduct this kind of interview. I mean, you're really encouraging dads to step up and say, you know, hey, I'm going to take responsibility for the future of my daughter and her relationship and not just throw her out, you know, to any guy that comes knocking on the door and that. And so I want to start out by just saying, you know, as you walk through these ideas of what this interview entails and what kind of questions, what should be ferreted out, would you say, because we're talking here probably to a lot of women who, you know, didn't have an interviewer dad, or a lot of women who didn't even grow up with dads or who had absent dads, Dennis, what treatment, if you could sit down and as a fatherly figure talk to them, what treatment should they expect? When you're walking through this interview and you're talking to men, what do you have in the mind, or what did you have in mind with your daughters, and how did you practice it with them?
Well, I believe a woman is God's finest creation. I mean, I want a young man to recognize that he is to be a noble man. He is to be a protective man of this woman, whether he's with her for a date or for a lifetime. I want him to protect her soul, her body, her personality, her emotions. I want him to step up and not expect her to be his mother, but to be a friend and a soul partner, and if God so chooses, to put them together, obviously a partner for life. And so basically, when I'm talking even to teenage boys, young men who are in the process of becoming men, I would talk to them as though they were grown men and just making the assumption that they were going to be men as they took my daughter out on a date and talk about what that entailed. It meant opening the door. It meant conversation that is encouraging to her, edifying to her, and also protecting her from a physical standpoint. And I would talk to them honestly about the sex drive and about how young men are really wired sexually with a high sex drive, and they've got to keep that in check as a young man and protect a young lady who more than likely is not going to be their wife. And so I asked the guys, I said, how would you wish that a guy who was taking out your wife right now, how would you want him to treat her? And, of course, the guys would go, well, I'd want him to really take care of her and not do anything that would damage her. So I think today, Lisa, I think young men, and for that matter, men in their 20s and 30s, are looking to older men to call them up to being a man and how they treat a young lady. It's, in my opinion, this is both an art and a responsibility that every father, and for that matter, a lot of brothers have with their sisters, looking out for their sister, and uncles who are looking out for a niece, perhaps. I think there's a great need today for men to step into these relationships and call men to do what's right.
So how can, Dennis, a woman, I mean, I know a lot of women that I know are kind of, you know, we make a lot of excuses for guys and, you know, very much like, well, you know, he probably didn't have good examples, or maybe this is just the first date and he doesn't really know what to do, or maybe, you know, blah, blah, blah. What, I mean, how can a woman on a first date or just throughout the course of a dating relationship make her expectations known? I mean, how, on that first date, how can she really ferret out a good, solid, quality guy, even though he still may be growing, he's not going to be perfect, from just the total losers? I mean, what are the distinguishing factors?
Well, a woman, first of all, needs to expect a young man or a man to treat her as God's creation, as a woman, and to treat her differently than a buddy or a pal. And so I told my daughters, I trained my daughters that if a guy, you know, gets out of the car and doesn't come around to open your door, just wait. Mm-hmm. Just wait there. And I had daughters in college who told me that they waited in the car sometimes for the guy to hop out, and he turns around and realizes she's not with him. She's still sitting there, and he finally gets it, comes over to the door, and holds the door open. I think, Lisa, we've lost the art of common courtesies today, mm-hmm. especially as men say to a woman, Elizabeth Elliot said this, she made this statement. She said, a common courtesy says, it's my life for your life. And there's so much emphasis today on the genders being equal. I think we lost the beauty and the mystery of the distinctives between men and women. I think young ladies, women of all ages, want to be treated as a woman. And not all guys get it. They don't know how to do it. So you got to be patient. I'd say to a young lady who's listening right now, she's probably going to find herself on a date sometime with a jerk. Mm-hmm. And she needs to have already thought it through what she's going to do. I'll never forget my daughter calling me from the university, and she said, Dad, I've been so accustomed to you kind of helping check out the guys who come by to take me out. I really understood the value of it, because last night I went out with a guy who was, as Pastor Driscoll says, he was a boy who shaved. Mm-hmm. In other words, he truly wasn't a man. He really didn't know how to treat her, and basically abandoned her at a party. Mm. You know? So, you know, I think a young lady needs to know what to do in those situations and take responsibility and, more than likely, get out of the situation as quickly as possible. But it's going to happen. You got to give grace. You're not going to bat 1,000 as you say yes to young men who give you a call to take you out, get a cup of coffee. But I just wouldn't, back to the quote I gave earlier, faith is the refusal to panic. I just wouldn't lower your standards and lower what you're looking for in a young man. I would hold fast to that, realizing there is no man going to fulfill a checklist that a woman has had 35 years to develop. So no man's going to meet all the checkpoints. But, you know, it's the key issues of character, a man who walks with God, who fears God, and who who loves God and wants to obey God and yeah. is a part of what God's doing on the planet.
Okay. So for the men out there, you know, we talked a little bit about women and what they should expect. For the men out there, especially in the realm of purity, whether it's on a first date or in an ongoing relationship, how can he, in an appropriate way, set the standard for purity? I mean, I think a lot of, you know, historically, this has fallen on the women to set boundaries and push back. But for guys to set that standard without it being, I mean, it, you know, it's a little bit awkward if a guy, you know, on the first date, coffee date is like, hey, so I think about sex all the time. So I just wanted to tell you that I'm going to put X and Y parameters in place. I mean, without even being weird and creepy, how can he establish from the get-go that she's going to be safe with him and that he is truly, you know, he is keeping a godly standard of purity in his mind and is going to apply that in their relationship?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, not being weird and creepy. I've got four daughters, and they've had some dates with some guys who just don't have a good EQ and knowing how to relate to the opposite sex, and they've done just what you're talking about. They've kind of inappropriately talked about stuff way too early. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, my exhortation to a young man is, well, let me just read a passage. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 16, he said, "For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you." And he says, "But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil." And as a man, what I would say to you, I would say, I want you to be a man who is wise in what is good and know what's good and wholesome and healthy and innocent of what is evil. And so the first thing I talk to a young man about is what you look at the other 6 days of the week when you don't go to church on the computer. Are you feasting your soul and your mind on pornography? And are you going places and allowing your mind to feed on things that are unhealthy? I've been married 41 years. I still have to guard my mind. It's a battle. And I challenge every young man who's listening to us right now, get an accountability partner, somebody to ask you the hard questions, and set the boundaries for yourself before the opposite sex even enters the picture. But then when she does, I think you need to think of taking this young lady out like you're taking a princess out, because she is a child of the king. She's a daughter of the King of Kings. And the question is, how are you going to treat a daughter of the King of Kings? And as you begin to do that, I think you'll think about boundaries. And yes, I think it's important for a man to define those boundaries with his lips. And by that, I don't mean by kissing her. I mean by taking responsibility to define kind of how he approaches the issue of human sexuality between a man and a woman in a dating relationship. And I don't know whether it's the first date, the second, the third, or whatever, but the point is clarify your intentions and your boundaries and have a DTR, define the relationship, kind of where it's going. I like you. I don't want anything to get in the way of this relationship, so I want to declare this off limits so you and I can get to know one another heart to heart and soul to soul without tampering with the easiest way to know another person outside of marriage, which is sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then honor that commitment. And keep your lips and your hands off of the young lady, except to help her walk up the steps or to help her be seated. And all of this, I'm sure, to some of your listeners is sounding like a bunch of fossils pulled out of an archaeological dig. And it's like, what century was this guy born in? And I would answer, the last century.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter what century you're in. I'll tell you a story. I don't recall if this story, I think it's written in my other book, Aggressive Girls, Clueless Boys, but I had an assistant who worked for me for a number of years who was married for over 50 years, and she said, my mom and dad told me and showed me where it was appropriate for a young man to put his hands, and they drew a square on my back. and they drew kind of a square or a rectangle on my arm, my forearm, where he could help me enter a place or assist me in getting in and out of the car, etc. She said anywhere other than that wasn't appropriate. She said, I'll never forget when I met the right guy, he honored their request and kept his hands off of me. And I love this story. She said, we're walking down the aisle, we walk outside, we just kissed, we've just gotten married, we get in the car, and we're just heading down the road, and my new husband takes his hand, and he puts it on my knee, and he said, I've been waiting for a year and a half to do that. She said it was electric.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. And I think today how we've allowed the culture to rob a generation of singles of their innocence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul said, I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent of what is evil. Let your marriage bed be your laboratory, your place where you get a chance to experience this thing called sex that God designed. And if you failed in the past, thank God for grace and forgiveness. Claim it, experience it, write it down, confess it to God, and then get busy living the rest of your life from this point forward, being pure and blameless before Almighty God.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. You alluded to the aggressive girls and clueless boys. And I'd like to ask you, I mean, because I know how you outlined that. And of course, when we think of that and we see how our culture has kind of elevated that kind of behavior, I mean, it's easy to think of the Miley Cyruses and all these other teen pop stars who just anything goes. But I would guess that on some level, you know, maybe not as overtly sexual or whatever, but would you say Christian girls are starting to trend into this category as well?
What do you think, Lisa?
I would guess it. Well, of course, you know, not me or any of my friends, you know, we're not culpable.
Course.
No, not any of us, but we know all those other girls that do.
Of course. Here's the thing. Any woman or man, single or married, if you read the book of Proverbs, what is the repeated phrase over and over and over again? Listen, my son, for I give you sound teaching. Listen to son, for I'm about to give you some wise counsel. And in Proverbs chapter 5 through 7, there is the warning against adultery. And it's the warning of the woman who winks her eyes, who twists her pearls, who invites the young man out of off the street into her bedroom where there's silk sheets and scented candles and all kinds of alluring excitement. And it's a father telling his son, beware, son. And to me, there's two commands in here. There's the obvious command to the young man to not be an ox to the slaughter. That's what he's compared to, a man who goes in to a woman who's not his wife. But there's also the command, I think, to a young lady to protect her sexuality, which is incredibly powerful in a man's life, to guard her sexuality and her sexual power until God says, go. Until God says it's good. And what we have today is we have such a culture that is unrestrained that we're not challenging young men to think about being lured, but we're also not challenging young women to watch how they are being the ones who allure a young man or who attract a young man. It's what I tried to write about in the book. It's conversations for a dad to have with his son, regardless of his age, but to talk with him about this age-old problem. I mean, the astounding number of marriages that where there's been infidelity is at an all-time high today in our country. Why is that? Well, it's men who've gone down to the slaughter. It's men who went looking outside their marriage. And for single men, I think they've got to be careful. And for single women, I'd want to challenge single women today to be stylish, to be attractive. But instead of seeking to turn heads, I would have their hearts adorned such that they would turn a young man's heart toward them.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my challenge. Everything about our culture today is so physical, so sexual. Just when you think clothing can't become any more sensual, they find a new level to move it to. I think women today, whether they're in their teens, their 20s, 30s, listening to us in your audience right now, they just need to ask the question, am I erring on the side of modesty or of immodesty? Am I going to attract the guy who is a godly man, or am I going to attract the wolf? Because you don't want to be married to a wolf. Mm-hmm. You want a man who is a noble man, a dignified man, a man of character who has self-restraint and self-discipline.
Yeah. Well, so what do you say to the young woman, though, who is throwing up her hands because she's like, well, great, but the problem is that these guys aren't setting the standards for themselves. So they're, you know, we constantly hear at Boundless about, you know, some of us women are just like, wow, is like every guy out there addicted to porn? Is there no guy that can stand for purity? Is there no, because they're, you know, the girls that are aggressive, the girls that are overtly sexual, they're getting the attention of the guys. And then the other girls are just being accused of being ice princesses, or they're not getting any attention at all. And so I think there's a frustration out there. And how do we truly pursue godliness in that and have any, you know, I mean, obviously we don't want to attract the wrong type of guy. I mean, I totally understand that. But is there any responsibility on the guys for this?
Oh, absolutely. And I get the frustration of a young lady today. I mean, I've got four daughters. Mm-hmm. I heard this message starting in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the young men of noble character? Mm-hmm. And our daughters dated a number of them. And our daughters got some as husbands. So they are out there. I think this culture allows men to carry their adolescence well into their 20s, and some believe now into their 30s. And I think a young lady, a woman's got to look at what are the facts and the circumstances surrounding a man today. Is he a man who's responsible? Is he a godly man? And I would be careful. I think today's single groups at church can be a dangerous place for a woman to be preyed upon by a guy who gets religion once a week when the girls show up at church, and he's there, and frankly, his motives are not good. For a number of years, Lisa, you don't know this, but for a number of years, we held a singles conference in Keystone, Colorado, called the Keystone Caper, and we had Chuck Swindoll speak, and Elizabeth Elliott, and Josh McDowell, and Bill Bright, and Howard Hendricks, and we would have singles come there, and I was always kind of amazed at the spectrum of young men, and I think you nailed it. I think today we need to be expecting men to behave like men, and they need to be responsible for their own sex drive. They need to be responsible for how they treat a young lady, and frankly, it's why I believe young ladies, as much as possible, ought to have some older man in their lives who's looking out for her and is willing not necessarily to interview their date, but to check out the guy if the relationship goes serious. I mean, I have a daily radio program, Family Life Today, and the number of women that I've interviewed who waited in their 20s until they found the right guy, only to find out that he'd lied to them, and they weren't who they appeared to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think online dating is, I think it's good, but it can be dangerous. And I think you got to go slow. You got to check things out. And I know one dad who, for his daughters, he runs a credit check. He checks them out, their
mm-hmm.
background.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've got to be protecting our women today and making sure they're not abandoned to the culture, because this is the time where not everything that looks like a man is one.
Yeah. Well, and that's why so often when I speak to churches, I say, you know, married couples, you know, older couples, empty nesters, there's your responsibility here too. You know, where are the elders of the church? Where are those who are going to protect our women, especially those, like I said, on the front end, who don't have fathers or who don't have believing fathers or
exactly.
don't have involved fathers? And so I think there's a huge call to that generation as well to step in and start taking on a surrogate role for some of the single women in our churches. So.
I really think you're spot on with that. And one thing, just to the man who, right now, who's kind of sitting back, feeling like we may be beating up the guys. I'm not into beating up the guys. I'm into calling the guys to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And we created a video series called "Stepping Up: A Call to Courageous Manhood." That if there's single guys who are listening to us right now, who say, you know, I'm really not quite sure what all this looks like. I really need some manhood training. I need to rub shoulders with some older men and other men who will sharpen me and shape my character. I think one of the most important things young men and men need to be doing today is getting with other men, talking about what they struggle with, getting real, getting honest, being accountable. And this video series, I think, enables that to happen if a guy is willing to peel back his heart and let another guy in to his life.
Yeah, so true. Well, Dennis, thank you so much. I mean, we've obviously only scratched the surface, but we're going to link to these books that we've been referencing. And those of you out there that want more info on family life and the radio broadcast and Dennis himself, do go to familylife.com so you can get more info on what he's about and some of the resources that they provide. So, Dennis, thank you so much for just giving us some time today and really sharing, like I said, on the front end from your wisdom as a dad, but also as a guy who's out there in the fray when it comes to marriages and families and cares about the next generation of families in addition to the ones that are existing right now.
Well, I want you to know I'm really proud of you and what you're doing with Boundless. I think ministries like this are really, really important. There has to be clear voices today for the singles because there's a lot of static on the line in the culture that really would seduce singles today. And so I love what Boundless is all about and what you're doing with 20s and 30s. It's a great ministry, and I pray God's favor is upon you.
Well, thank you so much.